Hello, and welcome back to Golden Raven Games. This is our Monster Hearts one-shot, and we're having a good time with this. I was glad to hear that everyone liked the little duck noises, or goose noises I added into the last episode.
They were very
funny.
I'm just
so glad that everyone loves Eddie and Bella as much as I do.
They're definitely everyone's favorite characters. I don't think I've heard anyone talk about mine or Andrew's characters at all.
Well, I've heard people say they're excited that I'm playing a literal dragon.
Right, yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about my character at all, but it's fine. But yeah, we appreciate everyone listening, and if you are new here, I guess with One Shot Mondays, there could be people new here. So if you're new here, come join us over on the actual place. That is our Discord server. And if you notice, it's the second Discord server link in our show notes, because the first one is for our playtesting server. We've had a couple people come in there by accident. But it's the second one that says the name of the server on it. So come hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. We love talking to people about everything. And we're looking forward to talking about this episode as well. With that, I think we're going to go ahead and get back into it. Wesley, you want to take over for me?
All right. Well, coming back into it, if I recall correctly, the last episode had ended with Eddie's successful possible foiling of a potion-related cheating mechanism by the Mournhollow Cabin. And we are going to pick that up the next morning. The sun rises, but everyone is awoken rather possibly rudely, or depending on your definition of rude, possibly not, because throughout...
Your definition of awoken?
I don't sleep.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, or that, because certain among them
actually
do not rest.
I have to ask a question.
Yes.
Does Eddie ever sleep?
Not according to...
Because you're a vampire.
I don't
yeah.
need
not
to.
Not according to
yeah,
Hannah.
That's what I figured. Okay.
I don't need to.
So, Eddie, you might actually be the first person to hear this, as you have not been sleeping, is just all of a sudden, through the morning air, there comes this rather loud, possibly magnified voice that says, "Good morning, campers! Now, everyone, please remember, today's very important. Today will be the beginning of the Golden Raven Games, and it will kick off, of course, after this morning's breakfast with an obstacle by our very own camp counselor, head of the Greenheart Cabin, Marlock. He will, I'm sure, explain that as it comes up after breakfast is concluded. But remember, at the end of this, probably, I don't know if it's going to be maybe the middle, no, probably the end of the day. Yes, end of the day, there's going to be the campfire sing-along. It'll be a chance to meet and greet and talk and possibly spread rumors about certain campers. We don't know. It's always a great time, so everybody be there, right? Yes, good.
I know.
And this voice, I know I'm sounding a little off for it, but imagine it coming out like a crow's croaking sound. And I think
wow, that's so much worse.
Yeah.
I can't
pull off the crow's croak at the moment, but yes, it's imagine a talking imagine as if a crow is speaking. And I think you, Eddie, if you're awake, just possibly standing in the cabin, perhaps, you look out the window and you see what appears to be a crow, or possibly a raven, just winging its way over the grounds, and you're not sure, but I don't know. And all of you who do sleep, I will assume that you're all rather either very heavy sleepers, or you're awoken by this rather loud announcement.
I think I definitely get woken up by
I'm
this,
awake.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't our first time at camp. Wouldn't we know, like, what it is that makes the announcements?
You probably are aware. This is actually the camp mascot. His name is Nevermore, actually.
Okay.
Of course it is.
So is he a raven or is he a crow?
If you must know, he is actually a raven.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
presumably.
So we all know who this is, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to like them.
I'm glad to know someone we can curse properly.
Yeah.
Not long after this announcement, we're going to smash cut over to the pavilion where all the cabins have gathered for breakfast. And I think the first thing that everyone notices upon gathering, you notice that the Mournhollow cabin, the cabin where, of course, Bella is staying along with Lashka and her whole group, are suspiciously lagging today. And as you look across in their direction and you see a group slowly making their way. But the closer they get, people start laughing and you can't tell what it is. But you look and you see that one person out of this group, only one, but rather obviously, they're walking up and the others are trying to sort of shield them. But it's not working because it's very obvious. This person, it's the girl she was actually initially talking to the previous day who said, "Oh, you have a plan, right?" She goes, "Oh yes, I always have a plan." And you see that her something appears to have gone awfully wrong with something, because you're looking and her skin tone has radically changed. It's this like patches of dark, very dark green and like very pale green color. She looks like for lack of a better term, she looks like broccoli in coloration, but like dark and light and different patches. And like her whole body seems to be covered in this coloring. And just everybody around the table when they come in, everyone just starts laughing and they're all just trying to like sit and hope no one notices, but of course everyone's noticed.
Is this the girl that you said was prettier than me?
No, the one that I had mentioned could possibly be considered prettier than you was the succubus, who is actually a girl in your own cabin, so.
Okay.
But yes, breakfast still commences, but do you guys want to do anything or say anything in reaction to this? And I'll give you a chance at breakfast to possibly talk amongst yourselves, or I'll move on.
I don't think that Mal wants to necessarily say anything about that. Well, actually, maybe he would.
I'm going to nudge Eddie and give him a knowing smile.
Eddie just kind of smirks and nods.
I think Mal won't say anything at this point. He was considering kind of just calling out to the whole camp, like, "Oh, it looks like cheaters get what they get what's coming to him," but or something along those lines. But he doesn't want to let loose that he knows this happened, or that he knows why this happened. So I think that Mal like would try to make sure like the whole cabin like sits together for breakfast so we can try to strategize. He'd try to convince people we should all like, you know, huddle up basically.
Okay. So you're all sitting together.
Oh, I'll huddle up with you.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. You two were kind of on
even bad, after the rejection.
You guys were kind of on bad terms, weren't you? I don't know.
Well, it was a failed roll, but that doesn't mean that it didn't still get the effect that I wanted, which was that she wants me.
Fair. Okay.
But nothing has changed.
No, yeah.
Okay. All right. So yes, obviously many people are talking about, "Oh, what do you think happened? What was it? What happened?" And at the end, as breakfast is
I mean, like, our cabin knows, I would think. Like, our cabin is probably all looking at each other around the table as we all sit down with our breakfast.
Yeah.
And I think Mal's just gonna say, he's like nodding towards Eddie appreciatively, and he just says, "Looks like that was some good work last night, Eddie."
Thanks. I didn't do much, but looks like it worked.
And then Mal goes on, and he's looking around the table, and he says, "Well, as far as this challenge, we don't know what it is yet, so I think that we all just got to play to our strengths, you know? Work as a team, you know, whatnot." Yeah, so he says that, and he says, you know, we all got to work as a team or whatever. And he just says, if it's anything physically exerting, I mean, unless they prevent me from being my real self, I think I got that one handled.
And as breakfast sort of winds down, everyone's whispering amongst each other about the announcement this morning about some kind of obstacle that was mentioned. And then the head counselor, Mr. Geist, steps out to the front of the pavilion and says, claps his hands, "Campers!" And he looks very pointedly over at the Mournhollow table, and or wherever she herself is sitting, and goes, "It seems someone has had a mishap of sorts." And he looks at Lushka because he knows that she is. He's got sharp ears. He may have heard one or two things the previous day. Not necessarily the cheating thing, but something about a plan or whatever else. And he never heard the word cheating, so he's not going to say anything or do anything because it wasn't confirmed. But he just looks at her and he goes, "This can be reversed, yes?" She looks at him, kind of throws her head back, sort of offended. She's like, "Of course, of course." And he's just like, "All right, then. All then, no harm, no foul. All right. Well, since this meal is wrapping up here, I believe I will hand this over to our master of ceremonies for today, the beginner of our first challenge. Everyone, please welcome head of the Greenheart Cabin, Marlock." And he claps his hair. He's clapping and you know, just periodically clap, clap, clap. And the from behind him, under the pavilion, the lumberjack type I described with the big brown beard steps up and he clears his throat and goes, "Campers, today you'll be facing my challenge. Now, this will be a test of endurance, speed, agility, versatility, many, many things. And, well, I can't exactly go into it as that would spoil a few of the rather special surprises I have in store. But once this meal is complete, we will all adjourn to the games field where I have set up a few special obstacles. Now, no time to waste." And he's gonna start walking amongst you to, and then they're just watching you as you're cleaning up from breakfast, and then we're gonna shift over to the games field, unless you guys had anything you wanted to do beforehand.
No, I think I'm ready.
All right. So you're all standing at the edge of this very large field. It's about the size of, I'll say a little smaller in length than a football field, but fairly big. It's got a lot of area. And you see, you're not seeing a ton here as far as obstacles that are obvious. I think one thing that you do, actually two things that everyone sees upon standing at the edge is, you're looking across and about midway across the field, you're seeing what appears to be, for lack of a better term, a flower patch of some type. It's too far away, you can't tell what it is. And then at the far end of the field, not exactly, you see that at the end of the field there is a like a blue sash that has been tied between two trees. And where you're standing, there is a, at your side, there is a red sash. And about at the end of the field, there seems to be some kind of a wall that's been built. It looks to you from here to be a bit like, you know, if you go to those climbing gyms and there's the rock wall.
Yeah.
You're all standing here sort of milling about, waiting to see what happens, next. And Eddie, I think you will notice. I'm not going to make you roll for this because it's you notice everything that involves her. Obviously, is that over the Mournhollow group is sort of
honk, honk,
still grouped
honk,
up,
honk, honk,
and
honk.
And as they are, you look over and you see this tall, kind of stocky, curly, brown-haired guy. You know, very moon-faced, pale. He comes over to the Mournhollow group, and he starts talking to someone, and it takes you a moment, but you recognize very quickly. Not only is he talking to Bella Mallard, your girlfriend, but...
Is it Jake White?
You've got it. This is your rival, Jake White,
ugh!
Who is also...
I hate that guy! Ugh!
Who is actually a member of Andrew's rival's werewolf pack. So...
Okay.
Yeah. So this is... Yeah, you see this going on, and Mal and Ivy, what are you doing? As your cabin is grouped up, you're all sort of waiting for the head counselor, Marlock, to explain the rules, which he will do momentarily.
Eddie's fists are clenched, and he actually starts to hiss. As he sees this,
you're hissing like a Sims 4 vampire.
That's funny.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Mal is just kind of observing. Like, he's more focused on trying to look at the field and see what it's all about, but he knows he's probably going to have to just wait to get the explanation to know everything that's going on. But he's getting kind of ready to strategize.
I'm inching closer to Mal.
All right. Yes, Marlock is going to step up, and he addresses everybody. He says, "All right, everyone. I will say, this course is some of the best work I've put together. I have spent a fair amount of time on this last night, so I do hope it's a proper challenge for everyone. Now, I am not going to spoil any surprises by explaining what is out there, because, well, acting under some pressure can be great motivators in many situations. So, I will say, as far as the rules go, well, there aren't really that many rules that come to mind. And before anyone asks, yes, you are able to exert your full range of abilities in order to assist yourself to the finish line." And he points across to the sash. And then he says, "The cabin that can put as many of their members across the finish line will win the most tokens." And he holds up a little metal token that has a green tree printed on it. And he'll continue and he says, "We'll win the most tokens. And of course, if you didn't hear already, you probably have. But when you win the tokens, the cabin that presents the most tokens at the end of camp will be the winners of the Golden Raven." And so then he pulls out a starter pistol, and he looks around at everybody, making sure everybody is ready. He says, "On your marks, get, go, fire." And now we're going to get into a little mechanic I cooked up just for this. Each one of you three, I'm going to give you a chance to roll to determine how exactly are you affecting this. Do you want to go out there yourself as a contestant and try to cross the line? Do you want to possibly help another of your cabin mates to cross the line? Do you want to intentionally trip up some of the others trying to cross the line, or combination of all three?
I know my answer to this already.
Go for it.
So Mal kind of had the impression when he said obstacle, this is going to be some kind of like kind of group activity to like have one group get past this faster than other groups. And as soon as he heard that there was no limits to our abilities, a smile was creeping across his face. And I think what Mal says as soon as as he's like starting to do the countdown, he just like whispers to the rest of the cabin. He just says, "I'm going to hold everyone else off. You guys all get down there. I'll catch up."
Okay, that's...
I was hoping you're just going to carry us across in your dragon form. Just fly over.
That's a backup. He's going to do that if things go south. But his initial plan is to hold off both of the other cabins at the same time.
Well, I have, like, superhuman strength and speed, so I think I can get across pretty fast.
And okay. I will say at this point, due to the success of the botched potion and the paroxysms of laughter and merriment that the Mournhollow cabin is causing everyone else, they will take a -1 for this challenge in their role.
All right. Would you like me to explain what I want to do first?
Yes, what is it you're trying to do? You're just trying to hold them off.
Mal wants to shoot, he wants to immediately transform into a dragon, then shoot up into the air, and then just kind of like spin like about face and just use his wings and just flap towards the other groups and just push them back, you know, towards the starting line. Basically,
wind tunnel.
Use the wind force to just kind of keep them at bay until my group can get a sufficient lead. And then he would just fly over the course and try to get there on his own.
Okay.
Unless his group looks like they're in trouble.
All right. Then do you want to go first? Yeah, I can let you go first. Let's see. Okay.
Am I allowed to use real dice?
If you would like, I can say you can use real if you'd like.
I just like using real dice whenever I can.
All right.
So kind of my idea is, would this be a shut somebody down? Because I'm trying to slow down the other teams, you know, potentially give them a condition of some kind.
I mean, yes, you are effectively trying to stop them from continuing on here. So, yeah, I could consider that a shutdown.
All right. Then I will make that roll. That is with plus cold. Ooh. I rolled a 4 because I rolled 3 on the dice.
Ooh.
Such a good idea, and the dice, of course, have to screw me over.
Yeah, you try this, and I think it's just narratively, I'm gonna say that it's a little bit windier than you expected. As you rise up, this wind gust kicks up and kind of knocks you off from holding still. And you try, but you, or rather, you ate too heavy of a breakfast and you can't lift yourself. It's up to you.
I think I like it better if like I'm a little bit just like too over exuberant about it.
Okay.
So the first one.
Okay.
Because I can't be as embarrassed as not even being able to get myself in the sky. That would be bad. But if I'm just a little over-exuberant, yeah, you know, I can write that off as being excited.
Yeah, okay. So you try, but you're... And plus, certain people are moving... He did say no holds barred, basically. So this is... He's moving a lot... Some of them are moving faster than you could have predicted.
So I could even catch some of them anyways, yeah. Okay.
And, yeah, so this initial plan does not work. So at this point, all three cabins at this point have a fair amount on the field. Who wants to roll next for their attempt to assist this?
So just to make sure my mental image of the field is right, you said there was some kind of like row of flowers in the middle?
It looks like a patch of some kind of flower or plant that has inexplicably sprung up about midway across.
Okay, well, since I'm Speedy Boy, I think I'm gonna run up to the flowers, but I don't want to cross them because I feel like something's up with them. So I'd like to maybe try and, I don't know if maybe hold steady would help me, but maybe like figure out what this is without being affected by it.
What it is? All right. So you want to...
I don't want to cross it. I'm just trying to figure out what it is.
Okay. So you want to try to hold steady. Yeah, I know this isn't really a perception, but I'm going to use it like that in this case. Roll me your hold steady, and I'll see what information I might be able to give you, depending on your roll.
Yeah, the reason I was thinking of hold steady is because it's like, when you hold steady in a scary or tense situation, roll with cool, and it's like keeping your cool.
I mean, this
cool,
would
so
be
thought,
a,
like,
I mean,
that would
yes,
fit
an unknown, the best. An unknown obstacle. That would be a tense situation. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I got a 13.
Okay, on that full success.
Says on a 10 plus, you keep your cool and choose one. Ask the MC a question about the situation, remove a condition, or carry plus one forward during the scene. So I think I'd like to ask a question about the situation, just like, what is this? Can I tell what it does?
Yes, I will say that you, with that full success, you take a run-by of these flowers without touching them, and very good that you didn't touch them, because I don't know where you would have, possibly in your monster-to-monster dealings, if you had any, you might have come across one or two witches that might have used this, or possibly another fae, possibly like Ivy or Marlock himself, who is a fae. These flowers, they look like regular lavender flowers, lavender blossom, but these have been enchanted very powerfully. Should you have crossed them without any sort of protection, you would have possibly fallen under the effects of a very strong sleep spell. It could have potentially knocked you out before you were halfway across.
Interesting.
I have an idea of something to do now. I want to phone a friend.
Okay, you want to
is
read
that,
that
move that you have?
You want to
yeah,
read
basically.
That move off there?
So I have a move that's called Beyond the Veil. To seek an audience with the Fairy King, gaze into the abyss. And gazing into the abyss will give me a vision. I want to see if I can get a vision of how to get past these flowers, because I'm going to call my daddy and ask if he knows how to get past this.
And then maybe you can get our whole squad to be able to get past very easily.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Okay, and your what does it look like when Ivy gazes into the abyss? Does she just pull out her phone, or what is it? What do you do?
No, so I literally like I have a really pretty little mirror that I keep in my pocket, and I pull out the mirror, and I pick up a piece of grass on the ground and kind of crush it within my fingers, and then rub it on the mirror, and then it comes to life, and I'm gonna call him a dad, ask him if he's ever seen these flowers before. I have to roll with dark, which I'm not good at, but you know what? It's fine. I'm not going to be good at anything in this. 7!
Hey. That's a 7.
All right. On a 7 to 9, he gains a favor from me, but you know, it's fine. It's my dad.
Okay.
So.
I'll just keep that in my back pocket.
Maybe he has something he wants me to do here.
He gets a favor. The reflection clears and shows your father there. He's kind of tapping on it.
Hi, Dad.
Is this on? Yes. Oh, hello, Ivy, my dearest. How are you?
Hi, just real quick. I need a favor real quick. I was wondering, have you, and I turned the mirror around so that he can see the field. Can you tell me how to get past these flowers?
Oh.
I've seen them before, but I can't remember. And I turn it back to face me.
Oh, yes. Those can be rather nasty. But, darling, would this be cheating?
It's okay. We're allowed to. It's all right.
All right, but you'll owe me a favor at the end of this. You got it?
Of course.
All right. Well, you see, those flowers, they can exert a very strong and powerful sleep spell upon those who cross. But the key is in awareness. You see, if you are aware, and if not only aware, you must be aware, and then you must think of another sensation or a smell. Smell can be the most powerful, but picture in your mind, recall a memory of something that was much more potent in your life. You know, an old gym sock, or fresh baked bread, or a library.
I think of the cologne that Mal wears.
And he just says, "You think of the cologne?" And he just says, "Yes, just pick, fix them."
I'm not gonna tell my dad.
I know you don't tell him that. But he just goes, "Once you have that image in your mind, you must keep hold of it and keep hold of it tight as you pass through. And also, just for safety's sake, you might want to hold your breath as well, because if you don't, then breathing it in, of course, can also exacerbate the condition. So that would be what my best advice would be, except for." Well, destroying them, but, you know, you don't have a flamethrower on hand or anything, so I don't think that would be the best choice.
We have a dragon.
And Ivy's like, okay, thank you, Daddy. And then she puts the thing back in her pocket. And I'm going to go around to all of my different people and tell them how to get past it and not tell them to flame. I'm going to tell Mao that if all else fails, we can flame through it. But since we have an advantage of knowing what this is, we should just try to run through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without telling anyone else, so everyone else goes to sleep.
Yeah, I think Mal definitely would have come back to the group and landed after his first plan didn't work. So he's there for you to say how we get past this.
Yeah, so I tell everybody, and then I'm just going to tell everyone to charge.
Yeah.
And say, like, get your smells in mind and go forward.
All right.
What are you guys going to think about?
I am going to think of the sweet, sweet smell of Bella Mallard's perfect AB blood.
Okay, got it. Got it.
I knew you were going to say
that. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that is so good.
AB is the rarest blood type. It's exquisite.
Of course it is.
Mal thinks of Ivy's natural fresh scent. She doesn't need to have any products because she's a fae and she just smells amazing all the time.
Okay.
Just
fresh flowers and
keep,
you know,
in mind what I have mentioned is an obstacle that you can see. There might be others on the field.
Oh yeah, of course. I think what Mal would even say, like, he stayed as a dragon and he's just gonna say, I'll follow that advice. I'll meet you all on the other side. Maybe I can fly us all to the end after that.
Okay.
But he is going to follow the advice and try flying over while still closing his nostrils and thinking, because he doesn't know if, like, flying over counts as crossing the barrier, too. But he doesn't want to, you know, transform and everything.
All three of you expended your roles investigating the field. Am I correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you all can, when you get to the field, you'll be able to cross, but I'm going to need each one of you to roll me a hold steady to possibly cross obstacles that come before the field.
Do we get any kind of advantage on the roll because of Ivy and Eddie's good work in figuring this out?
I will say that because you are aware at least of the field, you will get a +1.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So this is the final roll that we'll see how we do for the rest of it.
Yes, this is covering pretty much all the other obstacles that I laid out.
I got a 12.
What is cold? Hold steady.
Ooh, cold.
Cold.
I rolled a 12.
12 well, and 12. Ooh, nice.
7.
And 7. Okay. So I'll say, just narratively, that, of course, Mourne Hollow is not doing quite so well, because they're finding it harder to concentrate when they have the specter of their green participant in their minds. And as you all go on, I'll start with Mal. Mal, you are able to eventually get into the air and fly across, but one thing you probably didn't account for because you didn't see them, you're not even sure where they're coming from. They seem to be coming from the woods on the edges of this field, but you're able to dodge them very very athletically, very very quickly. What seem to be, are those arrows? You're not sure where they're coming from, but they seem to be coming from the woods, and you are just pulling off this like amazing aerial display, and you're managing to dodge these. And Eddie, with your amazing speed and reflexes, you are able to do something similarly amazing. Is everything is moving in slow motion around you, and in certain places you're seeing the ground start to sink into itself, and you're discovering that there's pitfalls here, but you're just managing to jump and jump and jump. You're crossing pitfalls that later you would see are filled with things like snakes or spikes or, you know, some pretty dangerous stuff. But you are able to move past without any great issue. And Ivy, with that 7, I will say that the effect of that is that when you all of you get to the end of the field, and the last obstacle is the climbing wall, which basically has a grab bag of unfortunate things that pop out and try to fall on you, but as
kind of like Wipeout.
Yes,
it sounds like.
Yeah.
But rather more dangerous. But yes, with those two 12s, Eddie and Mal cross it no problem. Of course, Mal is flying. But Ivy, I will say that you take. Upon your...
Does Ivy need help?
I think this is the final roll. So
yes, this is it.
Oh, it's, okay.
She's gonna make it, but I will say that in your climbing of the wall, there's a little chute that opens at one point, and there's this like viscous slime that falls. It's a glancing strike, but like over your arm it catches you, and it really stings. It feels like some kind of burn on your arm. But you manage to jump the wall, and you three, along with a fair number of your cabin mates, have made it to the finish line. Mourne Hollow didn't do so well, but I believe second place would fall to the Greenheart cabin themselves, and then Mourne Hollow comes in rather sadly at the end. But as this is tying up, you see, you guys look around, and you see that all the counselors have convened here from the woods, and they've been watching this whole thing. And one thing that I think all of you notice is, outside of the main counselors that you've met before, you see one person there who I don't think any of you recognize, but as you get to the end of the field, they're standing there, and this person, they're standing with the other counselors, and they're wearing a rather odd sort of outfit. They've got this very long red robe with like gold accents on it. They're wearing this mask with very crude indentations for eyes and a mouth. It's like this white mask they're wearing, and they have their arms crossed, and they appear to be focused towards the competition, but of course they're wearing a mask, so you can't really tell what they're looking at, but they're just standing there with the counselors.
Okay. So, long story short, it seems like we won this first challenge. Is there, like, a specific number of, like, how many people from each group made it? Just so that I kind of know in my own head what the point standing is.
I will say that you three plus Gordon and Miles have made it from your cabin. And then from the Mourne Hollows, they had, like, two people cross. And then from Greenheart, we have a total of 4 people who made it.
So we had like a plus one, basically.
Yes, but you did have the most.
Okay. Well, right. I just wanted to know for myself.
Andrew so. Likes numbers.
Yes,
I
he
like
does.
Numbers.
I know.
I'm gonna write in my notes that we have those many tokens.
And yes, you see that as this happens, everyone who crossed is handed a Greenheart token. And Marlock, the Fae, he shouts out to everybody, "Congratulations! Congratulations, everyone! That was quite exhilarating to see. Quite a magnificent display on all counts. But remember, you must guard these tokens and keep them well, because It will become very, very important when it comes to the award. And then he'll tell all of you, he says, well, now, that was the first challenge. And now I will leave you all to it to decide what you will wish to do for your free time in the middle of this day. Of course, lunch will be served at the regular time. And don't forget, tonight is the camp sing-along. Everyone will be there. Dismissed. And he waves a hand.
All right.
What was, just for my notes, what was the name of the, is Mourne Hollow, and what's the other one?
Mourne Hollow is the one where Bella is, and Lushka, and that whole group. And then Greenheart is the third one.
All right. Well, my arm hurts, so I'm going to come up to the others, and we're kind of like cheering after this is over, and they announce like the points or whatever. I think I'm just kind of like looking at my arm that's burnt or whatever, and I kind of like glance over at Mal. And I say, I'm gonna head over to the nurse's station.
And Mal is no fool. He says, would you like some help getting over there? That looks like it hurts.
Yeah, sure.
But before he goes, he says, hold on, everyone give me your tokens. I'll hold on to them in my hoard. Nobody can get to that.
I know, I hand him
a token.
That's
a good idea. We could steal other people's tokens.
I think we could.
If we need to.
So are you making that your collection?
That was me, Hannah, but
no,
if
no,
you want
no,
me
I'm
to
not,
say that
it's,
character.
It's not yeah. my collection for the move, but there's nothing saying I can't store it. Like, I store my luggage in there, too.
I mean,
so,
okay,
you know.
Fair.
Okay, Eddie will hand over his token. And then he's going to go check on Bella and make sure Jake is nowhere near.
you do see Eddie that he is apparently speaking to her again, but I'm gonna keep it with Mal and Ivy for a moment. She's heading over towards the nurse's station, which is not far away from the main pavilion, and so you two are walking over. Is there anything you want to do in the interim, or you want to just arrive?
Well, Mal will put his arm out for her to like link with his. He's like, you know, here, lean on me.
Oh, I will do so rapturously.
And as you arrive, you see that this is sort of a rustic kind of cabin. Sort of looks like your own, but it's smaller. And as you approach, the door opens, and this very short, gray-haired, kind of frazzled-haired woman comes out and says, "Yes, yes. What do you want?"
I hold out my arm.
Oh, you poor dear. Come, quickly. Quickly, inside, quickly. And she ushers you into the room. And for description's sake, I will say, the inside of this room, this cabin in here, this looks about as stereotypical of a witch's hut as it can be. And, but you see on the main table there, this woman who is the camp nurse, her name is Salem, and she has a whole host of what appears to be elixirs and bottles set out on the table, and she gestures to the table and says, "Quickly, sit here, let me look.
Yeah, I sit down.
And she takes your arm and looks and goes, "Oh my, oh, that does look a bit nasty."
Yeah, there was some kind of slime.
Moloch does like the slime trick. Anyway, Not to worry, I have something that will fix that. And she turns to rummage in the cabinets and such, and she turns back and says, she hands you a little jar filled with this bluish fluid, and she says, "Yes, I know, it doesn't always look that appetizing, but trust me, it'll clear that up in no time at all."
Thank you.
So you don't drink it there, you just take it?
Yeah, I'm just gonna take it and walk back with Mal towards the cabin.
Okay. So you two are walking back from your, I don't know, romantic ? Walk to the nurse's cabin.
Well, I was going to talk to Mal while we were on the way. So I think I turn to Mal as we're walking and I say, "You did good with the whole dragon thing."
Yeah, I got off to a rough start, a little over-exuberant, but got there in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it must be helpful being able to, like, fly and stuff.
Yeah, it seems... Seems like they were set up for flyers like me anyways, but you know, of course, a couple arrows are nothing for me anyways.
Yeah.
You really helped kind of save a lot of our hides there, getting some help the way you did.
Well, you know, it helps being the king's daughter.
Hmm, sure does. And he kind of smiles at you.
I kind of blush because I don't know what that means. I'm just going to kind of fall silent walking.
Mal's just going to say, so this is our last year here, huh?
I guess, yeah. I mean, guess we'll have to go do, like, adult stuff, you know, when we leave.
Well, I mean, I think you already know what you're going to do, right? Probably something related to your father's court or something, I assume.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be parties and all that kind of fun princess things, you know.
Yes, while I, I'm going to do dragon things.
Like what? What are you planning on doing after next year?
Well, dragons normally capture the princesses.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
She goes so quiet.
Whoa, boy.
And just like looks at anything that isn't him and keeps walking and just, she is just bright pink.
He leaves it at that, though. He, mission successful.
And from there, I'm going to cut over to Eddie, who has just noticed that Mr. Jake White has yet again been speaking to his girlfriend.
I am marching over to put myself firmly between Bella and Jake.
Jake kind of, he looks at you with this satisfied looking smirk and he goes, "Can I help you? We were just having a conversation."
She doesn't want to talk to you. Back off.
You know, that's not the best form, assuming that you speak for what she does or doesn't want to do. And he looks at Bella, and she just, you can tell that she, initially she was trying to get him to go away, but she just keeps silent and sort of looks at you and shakes her head slightly.
Shakes her head as in what?
shakes her head as in, like, no, I was not wanting to talk to him.
Good.
but he says, he just looks at you again and says, "You know, you don't own anything, right? You know, conversation, it's a free country. It's allowed, yeah?"
"You don't own the right to talk to her, so back off now before I make you."
Toxic.
Would that be a threat?
I am Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss Eddie. Let's go.
It's like, "You think you could take me, huh? Really?"
"Easily."
"I'll hold you to that." And he just turns and walks away, but
I look forward to it.
"Your face people won't see so pretty afterwards." And he turns and walks away, but you can tell he's going to remember this.
Good. He better. I want
him
to.
Jake will remember this.
He's going to remember this, in which case he's going to possibly make plans to hurt you later. But from that,
he can try. he's welcome to try.
Unless anyone wants to do something in the interim, I'm going to cut to that evening.
I think, like, after Mal talked to the whole group and, you know, we all passed on our tokens, I think he's going to wait a bit before we get to the whole, like, potentially stealing tokens thing. He feels like that's, like, a competition 2 thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we may not even need to.
Yeah, we may not even need to, but if the other groups are stealing amongst themselves, we might want to steal some anyways, you know? But,
we'll see what happens.
For now, he thinks that there's no reason to, so I think he just kind of takes the afternoon easy with the group.
Okay, what about you two?
I sit near him.
Okay, you sit near him and don't speak because of that comment. Okay.
I keep an arm around Bella. Protectively, of course. Not possessively, obviously.
Of course not.
That's my job. My job is to be possessive. I have a move for it.
And just, like, she turns to you at one point, Eddie, and says, "Oh, don't worry about it. It was just poking his head in where it didn't belong. You know, he does that.
He needs to learn to mind his business."
I know. I just don't. You get too hung up on him sometimes. You know, I can handle myself."
He just kind of like hums.
And then she just looks at you and goes, "You know, my hair's got attitude. I could turn on him, right?"
"I'd rather you didn't have to in the first place."
"Well, that's very sweet. Thank you." And yeah, so I think you just spend the afternoon bonding between each other about your dislike of Mr. Jake White.
Yes.
And I'm going to cut then to that evening. And this is at dinner, but dinner is being done a little bit differently because, as mentioned at the beginning, this is the campfire and sing-along night. So...
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, boy.
So this is like... This is a big old... This is back out on the games field, but everything has been dismantled and packed away now, including the pits and everything else. You're not sure how, but they have all been repaired. And about in the middle of it, there's this big bonfire that has been built up. And around it, you're seeing everyone eventually arrives. And I think you guys are aware, this event is like a staple every single year. They do this every year, doesn't matter what year you are, you always have one of these. And it's the, you know, insert all the cheesy camp songs you can think of, you know, I'm my own grandpa, and all those other ridiculous songs you had to do at camp. But
I'm well aware I was a camp counselor in the past.
But it's like monster versions of them.
Yeah, it's like monster versions. Like,
we should come up with some monster versions.
Hold on, let's take that one as an example. I'm my own grandpa. What would be a good monster for that one? I'm my own
werewolf.
What? I'm my own doppelganger.
I'm my own doppelganger.
Doppelganger.
We could say... We should come up with a couple. That's kind of fun.
Okay, I'm my own doppelganger.
I don't know camp songs.
Country Roads? Mm.
Take me home. Take me home.
That's a camp song?
I mean, it wasn't my
like, camp. I could see that being a camp song. Take me home, Haunted Roads.
Haunted Roads.
Haunted Roads.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, you were a camp counselor. What are some more? I was a lifeguard. I was never really an overnight counselor.
The only song I can remember from camp is whenever announcements were going on, we would interrupt them and go, a horrible death to die, a horrible death to die, a horrible death to get talked to death, a horrible death to die.
Oh, we had now I have a tangent.
Okay.
So I don't like singing. I did it at summer camp because it was required, but I don't like actually singing, so I'm not gonna actually sing this, but we had a announcement song. And
announcements.
Maybe I can sing a little bit, but and it started off with that, like, a horrible death to die was, like, part of it. And then you, like, went through all these other things to... I don't remember
all the other things.
I remember the whole thing, so we sung it so much. But I will keep that to myself because I don't want to sing. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm disappointing you. Maybe I'll type it up someday and put it on Discord if people ask.
Okay, so basically for atmosphere's sake, you see, everyone is here. The requirement was that you'd be here, not necessarily that you sing. You don't have to. They're not going to make you sing. But you see that everyone is here, and, you know, they're eating, and they're drinking, and they're talking, and it's just a rather social event. Like, some people are around the fire singing, other people are just milling around and talking amongst themselves. You do see that all the counselors are here, plus that odd person that you saw at the first challenge is also here. Here, sitting with them, but not really doing much else is what you can see. But as you're all here, what do you want to do? It's a rather festively sort of environment, but you know, this is more of like a social event slash calm down slash discuss about the first day's challenge.
Yeah. How do we use strings again? Is that just like adding or subtracting from rolls if it's against another person?
You can spend
a string on another
things.
NPC to add one. Yeah.
So you can, you can increase rolls with it, or, you know, you can give them conditions. I believe that's another one you can use strings for, or because everyone's here, and I believe a couple of you do have strings on some people.
Yeah, I have some strings, so I was just, okay, cool. Yeah, I think Mal, I mean, his big thing is he wants to kind of schmooze people, you know. He wants to go like be friendly with people if he can, even like the opposing cabins. So he might like try to go like kind of talk with the Mournhollow cabin, but in like a playful way, you know, trying to kind of be kind of nice about it, but not really, you know, like kind of still lording it over them, but he's trying to be charming about it. And then maybe like the other cabin, he's maybe trying to kind of figure out more about them, because this is just me like narratively saying what I'm doing in the background. I don't think I'm necessarily going to roll unless a specific situation comes up, but he wants to learn more about the Greenhearts because they have the tokens to steal later if we're going to do it. So
okay, I'm gonna
and of course he would spend some time with his own cabin mates too, but
Yeah, I will say if you're specifically looking out for the Greenheart Cabin, you see that they are, their group is sort of milling around. You pick out that that bigger guy from the first day. You see him there holding court, and but he's also, you see that he's chowing down on food. He's terribly hungry, and he's just sitting there sort of enjoying himself, but he is talking amongst people that you recognize from his own group. So if you wanted to drift a little closer, perhaps you might be able to hear something or maybe even engage him.
Yeah, I mean, was he one of the people from his cabin that crossed the line?
Yes, he was able. He was one of them that crossed.
Okay. I think Mal would kind of walk up. Maybe he's just got like a drink in hand, and he's just kind of chumming it up with people. And he walks up and he just says, do I know this guy's name?
I don't think, familiar with him, so you might want to introduce yourself.
Okay, what does he look like, other than being big?
He's, of course, very big, broad-shouldered, completely buzz-cut look, or crew-cut, I should say, and, he's wearing, this big, looks like a football jersey, and skin tone is, very dark.
And Mal will just walk up to him and he'll actually like throw a hand out and he just will say, hey, I don't think we've had a chance to meet. My name's Mal. You and your cabin mates there did a good job today.
And you approach him and he just laughs. Well, that work was some of the best aerial I've ever seen. And he puts his hand out. Brian, hi.
Nice to meet you. I said Mal. That's mostly because people don't like to say Maldenithrax, but, either suffices. And, thank you. I take pride in my, not footwork, my, wing work, so to speak.
He kind of lowers his voice and goes, if it helps, not even our own counselor told us anything, so.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be the same way. If there's, three challenges, I'm sure our counselor's probably going to make one, too, and I don't think it would be in the spirit of things to tell us things. I think that's fair.
And he nods. And he goes, well, I certainly look forward to what everyone else might do and the challenges to come.
Well, I look forward to beating all your asses again, but I'm sure you'll all put up a good fight.
And he reaches around and like lays an arm over your back, but this like, it's one of those where, like, heavier people don't think it's very hard, but even you are like, oh, that's a very heavy weight.
Yeah.
And he just, he claps you on the back and he goes, oh, don't be so sure I won't beat you first. Ha ha! And he kind of pushes you away a little bit.
Yeah, and Mal will keep, walking around the gathering.
And what about you two, Eddie and Ivy?
I'm probably still reeling from what Mal said earlier, so I'm probably just sitting next to Eddie, like, disassociating.
Huh?
Third wheeling with me and Bella.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Eddie, do you think you noticed this rather spaced out look on Ivy's face?
Yeah, I think I noticed that she's not as talkative as usual. And, he takes his arm away from, like, Bella's shoulders, but still keeps a hold of her hand, at least, before he turns to look at Ivy, and he kind of lowers his voice and says, hey, you alright? You're quiet. You good? I know you got your arm was kind of hurt, so.
And she looks down at her arm, and it's fine now, I'm sure. And she looks up and she's, oh, no, I'm just thinking about something.
Eddie quirks a brow and just stares silently, waiting for her to
continue.
I chew
on my bottom lip and don't say anything.
Come on, you can tell me.
I could.
Could is all she says.
Yeah, it's true.
And he just locks eyes with her and doesn't look away and tries to make her squirm under his very hypnotic topaz gaze.
Oh, I squirm.
Are you exerting a move here or just because?
I'm not doing a move yet, but I might.
Okay, we'll see. All right.
It was something Mal said.
Mal said?
Yep.
Hmm. He looks contemplative. You need advice about what Mal said?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, you change your mind. You know where to find me.
I do.
And from there, I think you'd all had gathered your food at some point, and you're all gathered around. And I think just as a closing note, we're going to have everyone just attempting to enjoy this rather calming, but also not necessarily in Ivy's case, rather exhilarating ending to the day of the first challenge. And we will have to find out what happens next time.
All right.